Well, happy Mother's Day, everybody. If you are a mother, would you please stand and let us acknowledge you? I thank each one of you because I know that you have made a difference in this world through your love and your heart and your actions that has affected this world tremendously. So I thank each one of you who are mothers in this room. And while we are acknowledging mothers, I'd also like to acknowledge our own mothers or anyone who played that role of mother in our lives, whether it was an aunt or a grandmother or a neighbor or a teacher or even our father, because we have such tremendous gratitude for those mothering gifts that they gave us. And we, indeed, are different people in this world because of their love and their care. So I acknowledge and honor those people who played the role of mother for us also. And I really know that there are all sorts of mothers in this world, and there are all sorts of qualities and characteristics that mothers display. And one of them I'd like to share with you that I read this week, and it's titled, Obituaries My Mother Wrote For Me While I Was Living in San Francisco in My 20s, by Bess Kolb. And so I have a few of these obituaries to share with you. Is this microphone on? We had an echo going on in here. So it goes like this. It is with deep sorrow that we announce the passing of Bess Kolb, 24, of San Francisco, formerly of New York. The cause of death was botulism from homemade strawberry rhubarb jam that was prepared by one of her housemates. The housemate, Aviva something, holds a degree in, I kid you not, modern culture and media. She certainly had no formal training in sterile canning and preservation. If the kitchen in this, quote, co-op where the jam was prepared looks anything like it did 6 months ago, there is compost decaying right there on the counter next to the sink. Bess is survived by her brother, who once looked up to her. A second one. We mourn the death of Bess Kolb, 25, beloved daughter and sister who passed away late yesterday while hiking in the middle of nowhere with no cell phone reception. A product of Manhattan, Bess has no awareness of wild animals. So when she inevitably encountered a bear, coyote, mountain lion, apparently no longer nocturnal due to ambient city lights, which she'd have known if she'd read the article I sent her, she may as well have had a giant sign around her neck that read, Dinner. It also could have been sunstroke that did her in because she has a fair complexion like her mother. And the last one says, our hearts are broken as we announce the demise of our daughter, Bess Kolb, 27, who was taken from us by a Lyft driver and dismembered. Despite learning at the youngest possible age never to get into a strange man's car, Bess ever the techno-optimist decided to enter her home address into an app, hop into a Hyundai, and hope for the best. The family would like mourners to treat Beth's death as more or less a suicide. I think we all know mothers like that, or characteristics of mothers that are like that. And I also want to acknowledge and recognize that this Mother's Day can be emotionally challenging for many of us, or can at least be a mixed bag, because some of us here are experiencing sadness and loss because our mothers are no longer with us here on this planet. And there are others of us who experience grief on this celebration of Mother's Day because we really didn't have the ideal mother, or that mother was not ideal most of the time. And I know that it's really hard to go shopping and buy a Mother's Day card because they don't make them that says, thanks, Mom, for being so mediocre. Perhaps today, because of the love or care you did not receive, you're not experiencing joy today. Well, Marianne Williamson says, we are not held back by the love we didn't receive in the past, but by the love we're not extending in the present. That is the love we aren't extending to ourselves. And in turn, then, the love that we're not extending into our environment. Because it's when we do that, that then we get to experience joy and freedom and ease when we love ourselves and then extend that outwards. And what I know, regardless of if your mother is here or not, or how long your mother was on the planet, or how great your mother was or not, each and every single one of us has within us that universal archetypal mother. That quality, that archetypal mother lives in every single one of us, regardless of if you are a man or a woman or young or old, it doesn't matter. That is inside of all of us, that love of a mother. That archetypal mother is the energy of love and care. That archetypal mother is the energy of generosity and gentleness, of wise counsel and kindness. And all of us have all of those qualities within us because that infinite presence lives within us. And that infinite presence expresses as love and care and kindness and compassion and gentleness and wise counsel. We all have those. And so Ernest Holmes, who is the founder of this philosophy, says, God is the father-mother principle because it is the unity back of all things. The masculine and feminine principle come from the one. So we have that already within us. All the characteristics and qualities of the divine are already implanted within us. And so today, on Mother's Day then, I believe it is our task to treat ourselves with that same love of a mother, to treat ourselves with that love and care that we long for. Because that longing to be treated that way does not end with childhood. All of us still want to be treated with love. We all want to be cared for. We all want to be treated with kindness. And we all want to feel safe. That's part of the reason that we come here on Sunday mornings. We feel loved and cared for, and people treat us with kindness, and it feels safe here. We love that about coming here. And I know I am very clear that that is part of our purpose here at Living Beyond Limits. I tell you that we do visioning every single month, and every month those ideas come forward. When we go into meditation and ask, what is the highest vision that is seeking to unfold itself as Living Beyond Limits? We hear things and see things like circles, like embracing, like belonging, and love, and care, and being seen, and non-judgment. Those are the things that we stand on and that we create this center out of those ideals. The problem is, though, is when we think that love and acceptance and kindness and generosity of spirit and all those qualities have to come from outside of ourselves. The problem is when we forget that life mirrors back to us how we see ourselves, how we hold ourselves, how we treat ourselves, that our life out there is mirroring back how we hold and treat ourselves. We forget that when we love ourselves, we are reenacting the activity of the divine. When we love ourselves, we are reenacting how the divine unfolds itself as that love. And when we reenact that activity of the divine, when we are like that presence, it's like taking two hoses of the same diameter and we line ourselves up with it, and then good just automatically flows into our lives. But when we close our hearts off to ourselves, when we are not loving to ourselves, it's like that second hose gets closed and they're no longer the same diameter, and not much can get into that closed hose. And so Ernest Holmes says, love itself is the universal urge of spirit for self-expression. And when this is stifled in the individual, life cannot express its greater good through that person. We block the flow of love. We block the flow of peace. We block the flow of well-being and of joy because we close off our hearts. It's all available all of the time. We are the ones, because we close ourselves off, that we can't receive it and experience it. And so the title of my talk today is Home is Where the Heart Is. And I'm talking about treating ourselves with love and kindness, because when we do that, then we are able to bring our best selves to life. Then we have a life that is filled with joy and that is filled with peace. That is when we experience happiness and feel like we are free to create the lives of our choosing. And so let's look at some of those ways that we can love ourselves. And remember that archetypal mother that we're talking about, those qualities are love and care and gentleness and wise counsel and kindness. So one of the things that we can do to treat ourselves with those qualities is to make choices that are not based on short-term fixes, but that are instead based on our long-term highest good. And so that looks like doing things like choosing to eat a healthy meal instead of snacking on junk food, or choosing to make ourselves dinner instead of driving through the fast food. The short term is it's easy to drive through. The long term is it's for our well-being, our greater good. It looks like things like choosing broccoli over macaroni and cheese for your side dish. It looks like getting up in the morning and going for a walk instead of laying on the couch and watching the morning show. It looks like leaving the relationship that is not in your best interest, where you are not treated well, even though in the short term, then you're feeling like you're going to be single and that's not something you really want to do. It's about asking yourself, what serves me in the greatest way? What serves my highest good? What choice is going to give me the highest self-esteem here? And so Alan Cohen tells a story that reminds me of this. He says, "I'm not a big fan of pain, and I'm even less of a believer, no pain, no gain, and more of a believer, no pain, no pain." Most people struggle and suffer a lot more than they need to, and many of us could benefit from a dose of kindness to self rather than punishing and fighting to endure situations that rob us of our joy. Yet there is a way to make pain work in your favor if it shows up. You can use the contrast between how bad it feels to hurt and how good it feels not to hurt. The contrast can motivate you to make a new choice that will enable you to endure well-being rather than ongoing hell. When you stick your finger in a flame, for example, the discomfort is a brilliant feedback mechanism. The pain receptors in your fingertips realize that this experience is not in the interest of your finger's well-being and incite you to withdraw it now. Your nerve endings do not rationalize, "Suffering is noble and will get me into heaven," or "I must pay off my karma from some previous life," or "I'm taking on the path of humility and relieving it." The nerves simply recognize that this is not a healthy experience and you would be far better off to stop what you're doing that hurts. You experience a moment of pain, but once you get its message, you ensure the continuation of your finger by withdrawing it. In that case, pain is a helpful wake-up call. We have learned to blur or deny the signals from our pain receptors when we get into distressing physical or emotional situations. Often, this occurs below the level of our conscious awareness, where the pain is not acute, but builds gradually over time. We linger in the abusive relationship, breathe polluted air in smog-filled cities, and labor daily at jobs that leave us feeling isolated, disenfranchised, and depleted. If only we were as smart as our fingertips. At a deeper level, you are that smart. You know what hurts you and what heals you. appreciate pain as a signal that this can't be it, and choose instead what is it. If we listen inside, that quiet voice tells us, this is not it. This is not for my highest good. It feels good in a bigger picture when we do the things that are for our highest good. And so this week was our last week of spiritual fitness class. And somebody in class shared that that is one of the spiritual practices that she has been doing lately, is to simply ask herself, which feels better? Does it, when she's in the middle of a situation, does it feel better to be angry at this driver who cut me off? Or does it feel better to breathe and to turn on the radio and to sing a song? Does it feel better to stay mad at my coworker or to forgive her and to let it go? Does it feel better to get up and go for that walk or to sit and eat donuts in the morning? We know what feels better in the long run, and what a great and such an easy practice to do. Which feels better to me? That's your soul leading you on your path to fulfillment. And then the second thing that we can do to practice that archetypal love of a mother is self-care. And part of self-care is doing spiritual practice on a regular basis, centering ourselves, doing meditation, getting quiet and going within, because then when life gets chaotic, does your life ever get chaotic? When life gets chaotic, then you have this well-established inner sanctuary that you can come home to. And when you practice that on a regular basis, then it's easy to go back to that place. You can do it in an instant. You can stop and close your eyes and just turn within and find your center and be back in that place of peace. That's part of self-care. And so Carolyn Reynolds, who wrote the book Spiritual Fitness that our class is based on, says, no matter how far you stretch out of your stillness into the mayhem around you, you must return to your inner peace or anchor. Otherwise, you will begin to float adrift in the sea of others' emotions and fears. Do you ever get caught up in others' emotions or fears? Do you ever log on to Facebook? Instantly into other people's emotions and fears. Instantly. And so when we do regular spiritual practice of finding that center and being in that place of quiet, it's like we have this well-worn path that's really short and easy to travel to get back to that place. That place home inside of ourselves, that inner stillness, that quiet inside of ourselves. It's kind of like being at the bottom of the ocean. It's really still at the bottom of the ocean. Even when the waves are tumultuous and crazy at the top, it's quiet and still. We have that inside of ourselves. And what a gift it is when we give ourselves that on a regular basis, so when life is chaotic, we can return to that. That is good self-care. That is loving ourselves. So when angst is going on, we don't have to participate in it. And speaking of that, that's another way of loving ourselves, is just to unplug from the chaos. You know, we are living in this amazingly chaotic world right now. To turn off the news, to not check Facebook for the 17th time today, unplug from the stuff that feels stressful and pulls you off your center. And some more ideas about loving yourself are practicing flexibility. Allow yourself just to change your mind. Have faith. Know that life is on your side because God is on your side. And that means life is on your side. Practice self-forgiveness. When we forgive ourselves, it gives us a fresh start. We get to start all over right now in this new now moment with all the potential that exists. when we forgive ourselves, because we open ourselves, we're not dragging around the past. And so I read a story this week about the Buddha. And it says, Buddha was asked by his personal attendant, Ananda, would it be true to say that the cultivation of loving kindness and compassion is a part of our practice? The Buddha replied, no, it would not be true to say that the cultivation of loving kindness and compassion is part of our practice. It would be true to say that the cultivation of loving kindness and compassion is all of our practice. We are here to practice love and kindness with ourselves. In class this week, we had a really interesting conversation about the difference between being nice and being kind. Being nice is kind of like outer imposed rules. Someone teaches you how to be nice. And it's following the rules, and it's having good manners. And I think we all know people that we actually can say they're too nice. And that too nice means they're self-sacrificing and they act like a doormat sometimes. But when we talk about kindness, to be kind really means to come from your heart. It means to come to a situation with a soft and open heart. To come to ourselves with a soft and open heart. You can never be too self-sacrificing when you're being kind. Because when you're being kind, you're being authentic to yourself. And so what if you came to the world with a soft and open heart? Think about that for a second. What if you came to the world all the time with a soft and open heart? What if you treated yourself with a soft and open heart? What if your biggest concern was for your highest and best good? In the bigger picture, what if you treated yourself with care and gentleness like that mother archetype? I invite you to close your eyes for a second and to ask yourself this question. Where in my life would I like to be treated with greater kindness by myself? Where in my life would I like to be treated with greater kindness by myself? Where could I treat others with greater kindness? Where could I treat other people with greater kindness? And I invite you to open your eyes. In this chaotic world that we are living in, we deserve to be able to rest in the sanctuary of our own kindness and love. We deserve to be able to rest in the sanctuary of our own care and our own soft open-heartedness. It's hard out there sometimes. And as awake spiritual beings, awake to our own spiritual magnificence, we have that to bring to this world. That love and that kindness and that soft open-heartedness for each other. And so my invitation to you this week is to call forth that mother archetype inside of you, to call forth the love and the care and the gentleness and the kindness and the generosity of spirit and the wise counsel from within you, to experience that within yourself and to experience it as you share it with the world. Then you will be being a beneficial presence for yourself and for this world. And so, happy Mother's Day to each and every single one of you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so we take our attention right now and we turn it to the truth of that infinite presence, that one that fills all of time and all of space with its beingness, with its wisdom and intelligence, with its peace, with its good, with its power, with its love. That this one whom we call God or Spirit or the Divine or Life or Buddha Mind, whatever name we give it, is this one that is everywhere present in and through everything that exists. Before time began and unto the ends of the earth is this one whose center is everywhere and whose circumference is nowhere, is right where we are. Closer than breath and nearer than hands and feet is this life of the divine. And it is this life of the divine that we are living here today, giving way to it in this world. Here, giving way to it, and it is having its way through each one of us as this activity of love, and as the activity of peace, and as the truth of our own wholeness, and our own well-being, and our own enoughness, and our own goodness. That today we walk in this one and with this one in everything that we do. And I recognize also that this presence moves through us and out before us to make the way plain and smooth and easy. That this presence follows us and moves with us and before us into every situation and circumstance we find ourselves in. And so I know that this archetypal mother within us today flows forth into our lives in a way that we have never experienced it before, a way that is healing and a way that is nurturing and in a way that enables us to create and live our greatest lives. Lives of freedom and of ease and of well-being and of love. And so it is with a heart filled with gratitude that I am speak this word saying, thank you, God, for all of this. Thank you for this opportunity to tap in, this opportunity to be open to that infinite good. And so I release this prayer into that absolute law that always says yes. And we simply rest and relax in this truth. And I say, and so it is. Amen.